Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson, sitting in for Ann today. The election victories of anti-abortion Republicans in the Ohio and U.S. House of Representatives has put the issue of abortion back on the legislative agenda. We'll hear two points of view about laws being considered in Ohio to restrict abortion, including a controversial proposal to prohibit abortion once a fetal heartbeat is detectable. And later this hour, we'll talk to a L.A. Times reporter about anti-abortion legislation being introduced in Congress and proposed cuts in funding for Planned Parenthood. But for the next 40 minutes, we'll focus on Ohio. Joining us is Kelly Copeland. She is the executive director of NARAL Pro-Choice Ohio. Kelly, welcome to All Sides.
Good morning.
And State Representative Lynn Watchman from Napoleon, which is in Northwest Ohio. He is chair of the Health and Aging Committee in the Ohio House, and he is sponsor of HB 125, the so-called heartbeat anti-abortion bill. Representative Watchman, welcome to All Sides.
Good morning, Mike. Good to be with you and your listeners.
All right. Thank you. Representative, let's start with you. The number of abortions in Ohio has declined 22% in the last decade. What's wrong with the current restrictions as they stand now?
The current restrictions are very minimum if you look at those from the standpoint of protecting the life of the unborn baby. And the heartbeat bill is directly related to reducing those abortions dramatically here in the state of Ohio.
Is it not because the heartbeat is detectable, 6 to 7 to 10 weeks into a pregnancy? Many times, especially if it's detectable in the first 6 weeks, a woman may not realize she's pregnant. When she finally does realize she's pregnant, the heartbeat's detectable, and thus your restriction becomes a ban on abortion.
Well, that's the goal of it. I do not support taking the lives of the unborn babies, and the goal of the legislation is to greatly diminish abortions in Ohio and encourage life versus the choice of death.
But the U.S. Supreme Court has sort of set a standard of 22 to 24 weeks into a pregnancy. Viability is the key to to Roe versus Wade. And even Ohio Right to Life, a very much adamant anti-abortion group, has said that they don't support this because they fear that there's no chance it could stand up in court. It would be ruled unconstitutional right off the bat.
And like I have met and talked with the Ohio Right to Life leadership and others, it is my goal through the committee process and through the process of working the bill through the General Assembly to craft this bill in the strongest possible fashion so that we have a realistic, at least hope, of being upheld by the federal courts. We do need to remember the history of the abortion issue is pretty clear. Typically, before a piece of legislation is ever enacted into law the final time to be effective, that the bills have been struck down by various federal courts and have been recrafted and redrafted. So this may be a long process, possibly, if the history is any guiding example. But again, I've always felt strongly that the most important issue that we face in America is this issue of life. It doesn't matter how high your taxes are, how many regulations you have on you, et cetera, if you're not allowed to be born and live that life.
You're hearing from Lynn Watchman. He's a state representative from Napoleon, Ohio, in Northwest Ohio. He is the sponsor of the so-called heartbeat bill, which would ban abortions after a fetus's heartbeat is detected. He joins us on All Sides with Ann Fisher. The other side, Kelly Copeland from NARAL. Kelly, for many uses, the heartbeat is the symbol of life. In a medical, you listen for a pulse, you listen for a heartbeat on a stethoscope to determine if someone is alive. Why not in the case of a pregnancy?
Well, thank you for the question. I think what's fundamental issue here is who is going to make this decision about what to do with an unplanned or pregnancy where something goes wrong in a health matter. That should not be Lynn Watchman and the state legislature. It should be the women who are experiencing these circumstances. We know that every pregnancy is different. No piece of legislation can account for all the challenges that women might face. And we come down very firmly on the side that the woman should be the person who decides what to do with her pregnancy based on her faith, based on her medical condition, based on her family situation. That decision should not be made by people who don't even know her.
Should there be any restrictions at all then?
Ohio has many restrictions already. I kind of take exception to the point made earlier that we don't have enough regulations on abortion. We have some of the most stringent regulations on abortion in the state of Ohio, to the point where some women, it may as well be illegal now because they can't access the service. And I think the sad thing that gets lost in some of this is that none of these bills that have been introduced, and there are seven anti-abortion bills pending in the Ohio legislature right now, none of them, not one, do anything to prevent unplanned pregnancy. They don't do anything to decrease pregnancy complications or increase access to prenatal care. There's a better approach. If legislators are truly concerned about abortion, about women's health, there are things we can do. We can pass legislation to make contraceptives more available. We can pass legislation to make comprehensive sex education more available. We can do a lot to prevent unintended pregnancies. We can do a lot more to prevent birth defects. But none of these pieces of legislation do that, not one.
Kelly Copeland from NARAL joins us on All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann. Today we're discussing new abortion legislation now pending before the Ohio House on All Sides. You can join the discussion by calling 292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. So, Kelly Copeland, would you agree that some restrictions are on this procedure should be put in place by the government?
I think the state of Ohio has plenty. Under Roe versus Wade, the court said that the state could have an interest in regulating and limiting abortion after the point of viability. And, of course, so long as there's a health exception to protect the woman's health. And NARAL supports that framework. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about bills that do not include health exceptions to save the health of the woman. We're talking about bills that would ban Ohioans from purchasing insurance that includes abortion coverage with their own money. And we're talking about a bill that no matter what the cute name they give it, it would outlaw abortion at a point when many women don't even know they're pregnant. That is not the agenda that Ohioans voted for when they voted last November. They voted because they're in desperate need of jobs, because our economy needs help. And instead of working on those issues, we have seven anti-abortion bills that are making international headlines because of the stunts that have been made to get attention and headlines around those bills. Ohioans need help. They need jobs. And this legislature should be solely focused on that and not on this agenda that they didn't vote for. It's a bait and switch.
We'll get to that in just a moment. Representative Watchman, let's get to the prevention of pregnancy aspect. Why not do more to help prevent pregnancy, which would eliminate the need for an abortion before pregnancy even occurs?
Well, there's different approaches to that. One that I support is abstinence-only education, which was destroyed by former Governor Strickland in the legislative process and by the powers of the executive branch that we hope to restore with Governor Kasich. Certainly those groups that choose to promote that, I would encourage that. Again, there's a lot of different pieces of legislation that maybe one could consider over the time. When the Democrats had control in Washington, they did everything to try to help encourage that all Americans have to help pay for baby killing. And, we have a new election every so often. The people change. And I would love to address the points Kelly made about us not addressing jobs, because she's absolutely dead wrong on that issue.
When you look at the legislature, President Obama took a lot of criticism during the 2010 campaign for addressing health care, the health care overhaul, and not addressing the economy. But you could argue that, and I think Ms. Copeland did, that by putting these bills front and center, that these aren't creating jobs in Ohio, with the unemployment rate at about 9%.
Well, she is wrong in this way. That the very first bill to become law in Ohio was House Bill 1, which is a major restructuring and probably privatization of the Ohio Department of Development. It's called the Jobs Bill. Unlike maybe the past Democrat-controlled House, the House Republicans, who are in the majority now in Columbus, have multi-talented legislators. And as I spoke to in the press conference for my bill, we have the ability and the type of legislators to work on all fronts, both in creating a better business climate for Ohio, solving the $8 billion deficit without raising taxes, for example, and working with Governor Kasich to do that. So that claim that we're not addressing other issues is absolutely wrong. It's false. It's
But is it not hypocritical to criticize the president? Is it not hypocritical to criticize the president and Democrats for handling multiple legislative priorities in the 2010 campaign?
Well, I don't think anybody criticized, at least I never criticized the president for addressing health care. I criticized him in the way he addressed it.
Mm-hmm.
The health care bill or the Obama bill, whatever you want to call it, at the federal level, was done in an extraordinarily lack of bipartisan support, as everybody knows. It was one of the most far-reaching roles of government into our personal lives ever. For those who aren't for abortion because it delves into people's personal life, I'd like to know where they were in opposing Obama health care. Obama health care was bad in the way it was crafted. It's probably the number two job killer right now in America because of the huge cost it's putting individuals and small business people.
Yeah, I don't want to debate the health care bill because we're debating the abortion legislation. But let's go to the phones and Tom. Let's get Tom on the air. Hold on there, Kelly. Let's get Tom's comment. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I have a question. And I'm serious about it. If this life begins with a heartbeat, and that then is a baby, I would like to know why a person cannot claim a tax deduction for a child the moment a heartbeat is detected.
Representative Watchman?
Well, the tax law does not allow it.
But doesn't that contradict your bill that the fetus is viable when the heartbeat is detected and thus is a living being and the pregnancy should not be terminated?
Well, not at all. I mean, they're two different issues and certainly maybe we should address that issue in the tax code.
Mm-hmm. Kelly Copeland,
I probably would support that change in the tax code.
Kelly Copeland, I cut you off. You wanted to respond to Representative Watchman.
I just had to point out that Representative Watchman talked about how health care intrudes in our lives, and yet that's not okay. But this intruding in the most personal and private decision that a woman can make, somehow that's okay. The hypocrisy here is just breathtaking.
Representative Watchman, isn't this government intruding on the private lives of its individuals?
It is, and again, I think I raised the question if the hypocrisy on those who want to take the lives of the unborn babies is the ultimate hypocrisy because they want to intermingle in our lives everywhere but protecting life. And that's, I think, the hypocrisy and things is the ultimate on their side of the issue.
Okay, we'll take a break. We're talking about the abortion legislation pending in the Ohio House of Representatives with State Rep. Lynn Watchman. He's the sponsor of the so-called heartbeat bill, and also Kelly Copeland. She's the executive director of NARAL Pro-Choice Ohio. We'll continue the discussion and take your calls when All Sides with Ann Fisher returns on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, the challenge in Libya, Arab revolt, and what comes next. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
In and On Point begins this afternoon at 1 o'clock right here on 89.7 NPR News. It's 28 degrees in downtown Columbus, a few clouds today and some sunshine later this afternoon, a high of 42 degrees. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low of 30 degrees. Clouds for Tuesday, a high of 53. There's a chance of rain Tuesday night and a low of 41.
Support for 89.7 comes from the McCoy Center. NASA engineer Kobe Boykins will engage an all-ages audience about his work with space exploration in the Mars Science Laboratory Friday, March 18th at the McCoy Center in New Albany. Details at mccoycenter.org.
All Sides with Ann Fisher with guest host Mike Thompson continues on 89.7 NPR News.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann today. We're discussing abortion legislation, which is pending before the Ohio House. In a moment, we'll look at abortion legislation and planned or proposed cuts to Planned Parenthood on the national level. That's coming up in about 15 minutes on All Sides with Ann Fisher. I want to get to this whole issue of viability, and then we'll take some listener phone calls. But Kelly Copeland, advances in medicine have been remarkable when it comes to treating and caring for prematurely born infants. Is a fetus viable earlier and earlier as it becomes more viable earlier and earlier in a pregnancy? Should the restrictions be moved back from that 22 to 24 weeks of pregnancy?
Well, I think the thing that I would point out is when you're talking about later-term pregnancies, you're by and large talking about wanted pregnancies where something has gone wrong, either with the health of the fetus or of the woman. And when you look at the number of abortions in Ohio that are taking place later in pregnancy, it's less than 2%. Now, that tells you two things. Number one, it tells you that there are very few people who are having to make this decision. But they're having to make it at a point when they're already invested in that pregnancy. And I trust women and their doctors to make the right decisions for their health care and for the future of their family. Who I don't trust is Representative Watchman, who doesn't think that at any point in pregnancy a woman should be able to have an abortion. And furthermore, I mean, when it comes to prevention, which we talked about earlier, twice Representative Watchman has voted against legislation that would require insurance plans to cover contraception. He's told you himself that he only supports abstinence-only education. I mean, what are Ohioans supposed to do? None of these bills include anything to reduce unplanned pregnancies, to reduce birth defects, to provide greater prenatal care. What exactly are Ohioans supposed to do when Representative Watchman outlaws abortion?
I want to get back to the viability issue here. Representative Watchman, we have an email from Andrew. He wants to know if there's any scientific basis for your legislation. Is there a legitimate biological basis for focusing so much attention on the detection of a heartbeat?
Yeah. Well, the short answer is yes. You know, when you talk with the best obstetricians and others who are the best experts dealing with pregnancy, there's general accepted practices and understandings of, you know, at least a time frame of 5 to a few weeks more than that, where a heartbeat can be detected. So, you know, I think all of us, or most all of us in life, recognize, for instance, when maybe you have an elderly loved one who's you know, in the dying process, that when their heart is beating, they're alive, and when their heart is not beating, they're dead. So I think one of the challenges that maybe those who don't support, you know, the baby in the mother's womb is, that's really on the surface, it's hard to ignore what's going on inside that mother's womb after 5 or 6 or 7 weeks or so, and that is that clearly, by all of our reasonable standards we use as laymen, you know, to get back to the average person out there who's not a doctor, is that we do recognize that life is there with a heartbeat, and there's no heartbeat. So
the legal point where abortions are more restricted is it a point of viability? Is a fetus at 6, 7, 8 weeks, 9 weeks, even 10 weeks viable? Even if it has a heartbeat?
Well, I don't think the Roe versus Wade and other court decisions are that clear. Again, I recognize that my legislation I'm carrying with 49 other co-sponsors were challenged to be, you know, for that bill to be upheld in the courts. But as one who, again, understands how important life is, you know, I think it's worth our efforts to try to test new restrictions in the courts.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Nancy, you're on All Sides with Ann Fisher as we talk about abortion legislation pending before the Ohio House. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, thanks. I have a comment for Representative Washman. Listening to him today, his comments sound...
I cannot hear the question, if that was for me.
Okay, tell you what, Nancy, why don't you go ahead and say it, and I'll repeat it for Representative Washman. We'll see if we can get this figured out. Go ahead.
My comment is that listening to Representative Washman today... He seems deeply disrespectful towards all women and the decisions that they have to make throughout their lives regarding their bodies. And I would hope that he and other elected officials in Ohio would respect half of the population to make reasonable and intelligent decisions for their bodies and to let us all participate as humans in society.
Okay.
And control. Thank you.
Let's get a response here. Representative Watchman, if you didn't hear, Nancy was saying that your legislation is disrespectful to women, and showing disrespect to half of the population. Your response?
Well, her question raises the proverbial point of the whole matter is, do we believe there's only one life at stake with the abortion issue? Do we believe that there are two lives at stake? And I firmly believe, you know, without a doubt, and I just don't know how anybody can deny it, that there are two lives there. And both of those lives need to be protected and respected. So, you know, her question is a fundamental one to the debate of the issue. Do you believe there's another life that's worth protecting or not? And I do.
We're talking about abortion legislation pending before the Ohio House with State Representative Lynn Watchman. He is the sponsor of the so-called heartbeat bill, which would ban abortions at the point when a fetal heartbeat can be detected, and also Kelly Copeland. She's the executive director of NARAL Pro-Choice Ohio. Kelly Copeland, there were still 29,000 abortions in Ohio in 2009. Would not increased restrictions cut that number even further?
Well, I think that that's the wrong focus. What we should be focusing on is the number of unplanned pregnancies. You know, focusing on the number of abortions and how we can make it less accessible so that people can't access them is a little like chasing the horse after it's out of the barn. What we should do, and what Representative Watchman and his colleagues have refused to do for years, is to get serious about preventing unplanned pregnancy. You know, just because some of our legislators have a personal belief that abstinence is the only method to prevent unplanned pregnancies, those of us out here in the real world know that that doesn't always work, and that we've got to give Ohioans the information and the tools that they need to protect themselves from sexually transmitted infections and from unplanned pregnancies. There's so much more that we could do here, but, you know, we have this, you know, right-wing viewpoint that says, you know, our way or the highway, and that's what we're stuck with right now.
Would you consider increased restrictions on abortion if it came with legislation increasing funding for prevention of unwanted pregnancies?
Honestly, in the state of Ohio, what else we could do to make abortion less accessible is beyond me. I mean, we have all sorts of waiting periods and biased counseling and, you know, just it goes on and on and on. What we need is to trust women, to help them make the best decisions, to let them make the best decisions for themselves and their families, and to prevent unplanned pregnancies in the first place. That's the compassionate way to deal with it. That's the smart way to deal with it, and it's the one that works.
Okay, 292-8513, 292-8513. We'd like to hear from both sides in this issue here on All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. Chris, you're on the air. Go ahead, Chris.
I got a question for the honorable gentleman.
Representative Watchman first. Chris, can you hear Chris?
I think so. I'll try to catch it here.
Go ahead.
Okay, I apologize. I'm on a
No, it's all right. It's a, it's a, go ahead. could be an issue
okay.
on our end.
The Honorable Gentleman, would you say that your sponsoring of this legislation is based more on morality than anything else? That it's immoral to take the life of an unborn baby, in your words?
Yeah, I mean, this is a basic issue of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. I think it's a life, and it's a life that has no ability to protect itself. And so I call it biblical morality, you know, whatever you want to, terminology you want to use.
Okay,
but
sir.
Certainly for me, it's biblically based.
All right, sir. So it says you, basically you're using the Ten Commandments as your moral compass. What is it about capital punishment that, you know, doesn't conflict with thou shalt not kill?
Well, I think that the Bible, to you know, the Bible gives governments a lot of power and respect biblically, and I happen to believe that it is a much different debate when you're talking about an adult, generally, although sometimes now it's even a young or middle teenager or whatever that chose to kill somebody. It's a whole different debate, and they certainly had the ability to make better choices in their lives than what they did compared to the unborn baby who has just about zero chance to protect itself from harm.
292-8513 is our number. If you would like to join in our discussion, we're speaking about abortion legislation pending before the Ohio House of Representatives. Our guests, State Rep. Lynn Watchman, sponsor of the so-called heartbeat bill, which would ban abortions at the time that a fetal heartbeat is detected, and Kelly Copeland. She is executive director of NARAL Pro-Choice Ohio. Representative Watchman, what are the chances this bill will pass the House?
Well, I think the chances are very good that the House Bill 125 will pass through the House. I do have, again, as I spoke earlier, 49 co-sponsors. We have 50 sponsors of the bill, and I believe a number of other of my colleagues who will vote for the bill when it comes up on the House floor. But again, as we do with every bill, we're going to have thorough hearings in the Health and Aging Committee. I might add, just as a side note, the accusations that the abortion issue is the only thing we're working on. I would like to let the listeners, though, that the Ohio House Health and Aging Committee passed an extraordinarily comprehensive piece of legislation, House Bill 93, to deal with the illegal use of prescription drugs that has become so apparent in Southeast Ohio. Dr. Representative Terry Johnson and Representative Dave Burke carried that legislation. We held numerous hearings and recrafted the bill. So the Health Committee and Aging in particular is working on multifaceted fronts to improve health for Ohioans.
Okay, let's get to the phones. Ore, you're on All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 89.7 NPR News. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having this discussion. What troubles me about this bill is that I feel like it would infringe upon my First Amendment rights to practice my religion, because in my religion we're taught that a fetus is viable after 120 days gestation, and this bill seems to be restricting my ability to get an abortion if I needed it for the health of, you know, for my health or for my, you know, if there's something wrong with the child. It would stop me from being able to practice my religion of being able to take care of this, because, you know, in my religion a pregnancy is considered a medical condition. So this would infringe upon my ability to get proper medical care, and I think that that's, you know, not the way to go.
Representative Watchman, what are the exceptions for, if there are any, for medical reasons, life of the mother, life of the fetus?
There is an exception in the bill for the protection of the life of the mother. So, in other words, if the pregnancy is you know, medically determined that it could cause the death of the potential death of the mother, there is that exclusion in the bill.
Kelly Copeland, turning back to the politics and counting votes in the House, what is your prediction as to how this bill will fare when it comes to a vote, if it comes to a vote in front of the full Ohio House? Right to Life has opposed it, so I assume you're using that to help lobby members.
Well, I think the one thing you'll find that Representative Watchman and I agree on today is I do think that this bill, sadly, will pass if pro-choice Ohioans don't rise up and contact their legislators and tell them to knock it off and get back to work and work on jobs instead of and putting their own particular religious views. I think your last caller was right on the money. You know, it's I'm a person of faith as well, but I don't ascribe to the same viewpoint that Representative Watchman does. And I don't know why in America we would allow one religious viewpoint to be imposed on the rest of us. You know, we Americans, we don't like being told what to do with our personal lives. And I think that this legislature should get back to working on jobs. And I'm dubious that they've done enough yet because I haven't seen the evidence of it.
But can't lawmakers do more than one thing at a time, Ms.
Sure
Copeland?
They can, but they have no mandate. They have 7 anti-abortion bills pending, some of which do not have adequate health exceptions, some of which absolutely exclude mental health as if that's, you know, somehow, you know, just an excuse. I mean, you know, there are many bills pending right now, bills that would say that where the government says you can't buy the insurance you want with your own money. The intrusions are spectacular, and I don't think this is anywhere near what Ohioans thought they were getting when they voted in November. Not even close.
292-8513, 292-8513. If you'd like to join in our discussion, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org if you're having trouble getting through. Representative Watchman, this is a separate bill, but tightening parental consent rules, it would tighten the judicial bypass where a minor could get the get permission from a judge to have an abortion without their parents' consent. What's wrong with the judicial review system as it stands right now?
Well, the current system does not have any reportable standards in it that really help the courts and then those who want to look at what the courts are doing to be able to determine whether or not the hearings are indeed partial hearings, which is what the judges are upheld to or sworn in to uphold, or simply a blanket okaying of their beliefs that abortion should be legal. So the bill simply creates legal standards that then will cause reasonable reporting to take place so people can look at the current law and of course, the future law when it becomes effective to see if we are protecting what many of us believe are our parental rights, that when their teenage daughter is going through what you would presume a very tough decision process, that by and large, it makes sense that the parent is there by their side.
But it doesn't. What if the parent is abusive? What if it's an abusive household, or less than an ideal situation? Does that make sense?
You know, and our society needs to deal with that. And the courts certainly can deal with that situation. You know, we need to look. Our society is very sick in many areas where abuse and other things happen, and it's very unfortunate. We need to do everything we can to stop it. Mm-hmm. But we can't, in my opinion, have a statute in place that because the standards aren't something the court understands, at least that was explained to us by the sponsors of the bill, one who's a very highly experienced lawyer, former judge.
I want to get Kelly Copeland. We just have about 30 seconds left here. Kelly Copeland, the tightening of the parental consent rule, shouldn't parents have more, as much say as possible in this decision if it's a minor child?
Of course, we all want our daughters to come to us if they're facing an unplanned pregnancy. But as you point out, not every young person is able to do that. And we need to make sure that there is a mechanism in place where those teens who may come from abusive homes can get access to abortion care that they need. And I'll point out that Representative Watchman, he's referencing a couple articles that were done about access to abortion for minors. And he doesn't seem to have any problem with the judges who just out and out deny them because of their personal views. Once again, Representative Watchman and his friends, they don't even trust the judges to make informed decisions about whether or not a minor is sufficiently mature enough to have an abortion or if it's in her best interest. They just want to make everyone's decisions for us.
We'll have to leave it there. Thanks very much to Kelly Copeland, Executive Director of NARAL Pro-Choice Ohio, and State Representative Lynn Watchman, sponsor of the so-called heartbeat bill, now pending before the Ohio legislature. When we come back, we'll turn to Washington. What's going on with anti-abortion restrictions in the new Republican House? That's when All Sides resumes on 89.7 NPR News.
Former CIA operatives, husband and wife Robert and Dana Bear, know how to scan a crowd for assassins, how to use a gun, and how to escape when someone ambushes your car. And old habits die hard.
Well, when we drive, if somebody stops abruptly in front of us, I always look for where I'm going to ram the car.
On the next Fresh Air, we meet the Bears. They have a new memoir. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes starting at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Based on her upcoming new book, Susie Orman's Money Class will reveal Susie's advice on what actions people need to take in light of the new economy. Tuesday night on WOSU-TV, learn about what Susie calls the new American dream, which rethinks many of the traditional strategies that have been used to achieve our financial goals. Hear what actions people need to take in light of the economic downturn. Watch Susie Orman, Money Class, Tuesday night at 8 on WOSU-TV.
Support for 89.7 NPR News is brought to you by the Columbus Dispatch. See what's in it for you. Subscription details are available at dispatch.com.
28 degrees in downtown Columbus with cloudy skies. Sunshine later today, a high of 42. Clouds tonight, a low of 30 degrees. Mostly cloudy for Tuesday and a high of 53. All Sides with Ann Fisher with guest host Mike Thompson continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann today. We are discussing pending anti-abortion legislation, both at the state level and now at the federal level. Joining us now is Kathleen Hennessy. She is Washington Bureau reporter for the Los Angeles Times. Kathleen, welcome to All Sides.
Hi, thanks so much. It's good to be here.
What is the Republican House doing right now with regards to abortion?
Well, they're doing several things on a few different fronts. The measure that's gotten the most attention is an attempt to defund Planned Parenthood, which is the nation's largest provider of abortions. This has sort of been a longtime target for conservatives and abortion foes. They feel that now sort of is a moment at a time when we're talking about this budget crunch in Washington, when there's lots of talk about trying to find ways to save money. They're jumping on this is one pool of money that they can cut. So there's been legislation introduced that would defund all funding going to Planned Parenthood and all the various subsidiaries.
Would it defund all the funding to Planned Parenthood, or just the funding that it's targeted towards abortion, or is it just
no? It's actually
out?
All of the funding now. Mm-hmm. There's this under the current policy, which is dubbed the Hyde Amendment, that's renewed periodically. The federal funding cannot go directly to pay for abortions, and that's been something of a sort of a truce of sorts on this issue between Democrats and Republicans on both sides on the issue, and that language was put into the health care legislation that passed and is the current policy. But anti-abortion advocates argue that by sending other funding to Planned Parenthood, you know, that support eventually allows them to perform abortions.
So you're sort
of supporting
argument.
It, yeah, indirectly instead of direct. And so this is sort of taking the next step, saying, well, you know, it's not enough just to not pay for the abortion specifically. We don't want to pay for for an organization that performs abortions.
And the other bill would extend the Hyde Amendment. It would say that no funds would be authorized by federal law would be able to provide abortions. How is that different than the Hyde Amendment?
It takes sort of a next step. It's just sort of a next step further, I guess, and they see that as a sort of a more secure policy than the Hyde Amendment, which is the sort of it's a formal policy, but it is very sort of narrowly targeted in their mind. This is something that would prevent any organization that performs an abortion to receive, you know, from receiving federal funding. There's sort of the larger picture. There's actually legislation that would prevent federal money going to well, not all federal money, but there's a specific type of, this is, gets a little complicated, but there's a specific type of grant, federal grant, that goes to support family planning.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes all kinds of things, from contraception to cancer screenings for women, a lot of different, it's family planning, but it's also sort of general women's health funding. And that's a program that's been in place for 20 years or more. There's an effort to prevent that money from going to any organization that performs an abortion under the same logic that it's called Title X funding, that the Title X funding is indirectly supporting abortion providers. So one of the leaders of these various efforts is Representative Mike Pence in Indiana. And he's introduced some legislation, and he also introduced an amendment that's specifically targeted at Planned Parenthood, and that was attached to the current budget bill being debated in Congress right now. It's called the Continuing Resolution. It's the bill that would fund the government for the rest of this fiscal year. So the version that passed the House a couple weeks ago has an amendment that would prohibit all federal funding from going to any Planned Parenthood.
We're speaking with Kathleen Hennessy. She is the Washington Bureau reporter for the Los Angeles Times. We're looking at abortion legislation pending before the U.S. House in Washington. So, Kathleen, they're looking at they're going after the funding for abortions, but they're not looking to place additional restrictions on the procedure like is happening here in Ohio.
You know, that's not the avenue that they're taking right now. And you know, I think in a large part because this Congress is so focused on budget issues and on fiscal discipline, and that is sort of just the primary topic of conversation there. And there's really sort of been, I think particularly with this flood of new freshmen, where they really see their mandate is pretty narrowly focused to try to reduce the deficit and to make serious cuts in the federal government and the federal budget. So it's sort of a marriage of, I mean, I think they feel like they have, but that's the argument that mm-hmm. they really are making publicly right now, and that focusing on the funding piece of it gets them some broader support and sort of matches the moment in Washington right now.
It gives them some political cover because lawmakers here in Ohio, anti-abortion lawmakers here in Ohio, are facing criticism that they are taking their eye off the ball, which is the economy.
Sure.
But if you can tie budget cutting to reducing funding for abortions, it is a marriage of two issues there.
Yeah, and I think actually there were a fair number of Republicans that came in who sort of maybe not so formally, but agreed that kind of now was not the moment to talk about controversial social issues, and that that was part of their appeal to maybe a new to independents and to sort of a broader group of voters beyond the sort of traditional Republican base, and they feel that, yeah, just like you said, that they're not going to take their eye off of that now that they're in Washington.
292-8513, if you'd like to join in our discussion. We're looking for questions pertaining to the federal legislation rather than just broad statements. So if we have a question for Kathleen Hennessy, Washington Bureau reporter for the L.A. Times, on the issue of abortion legislation, give us a call, 292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Mark from Clintonville, you're on the air.
Good morning. What we have here essentially is a tiny, incredibly vocal minority with powerful backers in Congress getting to dictate where their tax dollars are spent because they find abortion morally objectionable. What about those of us who find the invasion of occupation of Iraq morally objectionable, the Afghanistan war objectionable, corporate welfare morally objectionable? What about us? When do we get a voice in the matter?
Kathleen, is that an argument you're hearing against some of these bills being made?
You know, yes, I think the primary argument against these bills is that this is sort of an attempt to undermine or somehow, you know, prevent access to what is still a legal procedure in this country. And there's... you know, so Democrats and folks that have advocated for access, you know, have sort of fought this movement all along, are saying this is just sort of a backdoor way of trying to basically limit access. And actually, I think that there are a lot of conservatives and folks who are pushing for this who wouldn't necessarily disagree with that assessment. I mean, that they do feel like this is part of their larger fight against a procedure that they do find morally objectionable, and they're sort of fighting on all fronts. One of the things that Democrats are pointing out quite a bit now lately is that at the same time that Republicans are preventing funding to Planned Parenthood and groups that perform abortions, they're also cutting funding for family planning, like contraception. So, you know, there's sort of the kind of off-color joke in the Hill is that Nancy Pelosi, I think her line was that there's some folks here that don't understand the birds and the bees and how these things happen, that you shouldn't both prevent, contraception funding and family planning, and then also try to limit access to abortions.
There are Republicans who are mainly pushing this legislation. Are they Tea Partiers? Are they moderate Republicans who are pushing this legislation? And is it representative of Congress as a whole, or is it the far right? I guess is what I'm asking.
I would say it's not led by Tea Partiers per se. It's, you know, Mike Pence is something of a conservative hero for some Tea Party folks on his because of his stand on small government, and he's appeared at a lot of Tea Party rallies. But I mean, he's not necessarily a Tea Party leader necessarily. Representative Cliff Stearns in Florida. I mean, these are folks who've been working on this issue for a long time, and some of the other organizations, the Susan B. Anthony List, which is a sort of conservative answer to Emily's List, they've been very involved in this. Part of the sort of momentum right now is coming from a group called Live Action, which is led by a young woman named Lila Rose, who does these undercover videos, sort of sting operation type things, where she goes into Planned Parenthood and actors are posing as prostitutes or pimps for underage women, and she posts these videos online and alleges that it's allegations that the Planned Parenthood is aiding and abetting prostitution. So there's sort of a continued effort on the right that has not gone away, even though sort of the Tea Party message has sort of eclipsed it recently. But these are sort of there's still a lot of especially at the grassroots level, a lot of activity in the anti-abortion right, and as you guys see there in Ohio.
Is there any fear among Republicans, more moderate Republicans especially, and perhaps the leadership in the House, that they're overreaching? I mean, we hear it to some degree with the battle over collective bargaining, that Republicans may be overreaching by trying to severely restrict or do away with collective bargaining after their wins in November. Is there any fear on the Hill in Washington that, you know, we should be focused just on jobs and perhaps just on the budget and not getting involved with these social concerns?
Yes. I mean, I think that you won't hear a lot of people get up and say it out loud too often. But I mean, there is a real concern of not only that they may lose, taking their eye off the budget issue, but that in talking about the budget, they're sort of losing their focus on jobs. And so Republicans, you know, are already sort of split on that, or, you know, kind of pulled in two different directions, where the Tea Party and the freshman class is really focusing for really, really deep cuts, and they're trying, and leadership is really trying to push this as a jobs issue, and that they're trying to create jobs. And sometimes those two things can sort of pull in opposite opposite directions. And there are a lot of study, or, you know, polling that shows that Americans don't necessarily make the connection between the two, and that a lot of people say that their top priority is jobs and not necessarily deficit reduction. Now, even further down the list would be something like, you know, defunding Planned Parenthood or these more contentious social issues. So I think where you'll see the direct conflict is as we get a little closer to a budget vote and some kind of compromise between Democrats in the Senate and House Republicans, you're going to see likely a bill that doesn't include some of the amendments that were added in the House, like this Planned Parenthood amendment. And you're going to have to see whether or not there are Republicans who reject the budget bill because they don't have the social issues. And I think you'll see some sort of more open conflict in Republicans trying to figure out, you know, do I prioritize this social legislation and these amendments, or do I go straight for the biggest dollar amount on budget reduction or budget cutting that they can get. And already there are some Republicans saying, you know, we'll fight these social battles, this other legislation, we'll fight that another day. Now is the time to just try to cut the budget as much as we can.
Kathleen Hennessy is a Washington Bureau reporter for the Los Angeles Times. She joins us here on All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann this morning. We just have a couple of minutes left. Kathleen, there's been a stall in the decline. The stall in the trend, which showed a decline in the number of abortions, it's actually sort of plateaued. If you look at a ski slope, it's come down and it's flattened out. The abortion rate has remained steady now for a couple of years. What is that doing to this debate?
I shouldn't say that I've looked at that specifically. I would say in general, though, that when you have these other issues that are so pressing and at least in the political sense, that, you know, with the rough economy, with the states facing the budget problems that they are, that in general it's not unusual for issues like this to sort of ease into the background, and particularly for independent voters, women voters, and a younger generation of women, this has been a settled legal issue for some time, and I think that it's the kind of issue that often can recede into the background when folks are facing a high unemployment and uncertain economic futures, and I think that's part of the direction we're seeing now, is that it's just lots of folks are saying this is not the time to be discussing this.
Real quickly, as the federal budget becomes front and center, will this issue fade into the background as it is expected to do so here in Ohio when the governor releases his budget?
I think it's possible that it will fade in this immediate budget debate. But what's interesting is in Congress, you know, they're actually fighting over the budget for the rest of the year mm-hmm. right now. But they have the 2012 budget
yeah.
waiting right in the wings, and a fight over the debt ceiling and others. So I don't think this will go away entirely. And there was this amendment added to the budget bill, but there's freestanding legislation making its way through the committee process. And I think we'll still hear about it now and then. And I think I think that it has considerable support in the Republican House and a lot less support in the Democratic Senate. So
okay.
we'll see what happens.
Thanks very much, Kathleen Hennessy, Washington Bureau reporter for the Los Angeles Times. Thanks for joining us here on All Sides.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Appreciate your time. That'll do it for All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson, and Ann will be back tomorrow. Thanks for joining us on listener-supported WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1, and WOSU 820 Columbus, and streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.
Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from Thurber House, presenting crime novelist Lisa Gardner, reading from her new novel, Love You More, this Wednesday, March 9th at the Columbus Performing Arts Center. Tickets at thurberhouse.org.